Castlandia. I am here today with Nostalgic at Sea, the founder, really, of Marvel Trumps Hate, which is appropriate since this is the Marvel Trumps Hate episode. So C has asked for her interview to occur over Discord and then to have somebody read it. And so we have podcast favorite Alex Jameson with us today to perform the role of C in today's dramatic interpretation of our Discord conversation. C, we hope this is okay, basically is what we're saying. So away we go. Well, before we get started with anything else MTH, what is your fandom origin story? How did you come to Marvel?
So I've been in fandom for more than half my life at this point, but I got into Marvel in 2012 after I watched The Avengers. I saw a few brief mentions of Steve Tony before that when the trailer came out, and I didn't see it. I thought it was one of those two white guys are in a room so people instantly ship them thing. And didn't really think about The Avengers until there was good buzz around it, and I went to watch it. And I still didn't really get Steve Tony after I finished, but I was hooked into the MCU. I didn't expect that at all. I didn't expect to love it so much, and it felt great because my interest in my former fandom had started to wane a bit by then, and before then I was kind of fandomless in that I liked things, but I didn't have a main fandom that I was obsessed about. A friend of mine was reading a few Steve Tony fix at the time, I think, so I asked her for recs, read some, started getting really into the relationship dynamic of Steve Tony, and again, just the larger world of Marvel. I love the storytelling and the mythos of it all, and I started reading 616 fix while not knowing a single thing about 616. I didn't grow up with the comics, just Marvel movies and an occasional episode or two of Marvel shows that I didn't even remember watching at this point.
The Marvel shows all fell right out of my brain, so you're not alone.
Considering how big X-Men and Spider-Man were and still are, I'm sure I watched a few episodes here and there, but I don't remember anything. I was a big X-Men person. I think most Marvel people were back in the day because they were the big thing for Marvel. I do remember the movies, though, and I loved them as a kid. But yeah, going back to the 616 fix, everything in them was so fascinating to me that I would Google things or have wiki pages open while reading 616 fix. One of my strongest memories of my early days in fandom was reading Sukino Ferry's WIPE fix while Googling every single thing and character every few lines. But the angst, the drama, the powerful relationships.
Wow. You know, you're not alone when I hear people talk about getting into 616 that way. But it sounds like Steve and Tony really grew on you.
Yeah, especially when I read the Cap I Am Ship manifesto and went through all the shippy moments they had. I was mind-boggled at how deep and profound Steve and Tony's relationship was and how far back it went. I could not believe certain panels and moments were real, like the Azure Eyes panel and the confession. My non-Stony, non-Marvel friend, she's a Stucky, but she's not really invested in Marvel, was also mind-blown recently because someone made a gift set with that quote a few weeks or months ago, and she was like, what? Is this real? Yes. The answer is yes.
So this was pretty quickly after The Avengers, this kind of revelation about Steve Tony. So can you give me a year you were, like, fully in?
Yeah, really quickly into The Avengers. I'd say maybe a few weeks to a month or two, I guess.
Oh, okay. So like 2012 onwards, Stony had you hook, line, and sinker. Did you start writing pretty quickly or did you wait a little while?
I actually waited 2 years or so. I posted my first fic on March 21st, 2014. So it took me almost 2 years.
Still way ahead of me, pal. I didn't join anything until 2019, so you're good.
I was a voracious reader before that, though. And even though no one knew me then, because I like staying in my little corner of fandom and lurking, I think if anyone knew me at that point, it was because I'd write these long comments, long enough that I'd have to break them up into multiple comments because I'd sometimes hit the character limit. That's actually how I started meeting people, because I wouldn't shut up about their fics and was bursting to tell them how much I loved their writing and their stories.
Oh my God, you must have made people's lives. I think I would have cried. Wow. So were you active on Discord quickly as well?
Yes and no. I was pretty active in the Cap I Am IRC chat. If you know what this is, you're eligible for a veteran's discount. Which was a whole thing for me because I had to follow the instructions carefully and learn how to use an IRC client and enter the chat. But that started dying out, and then Discord started becoming the place to be for chat. So I joined Steve Tony servers really early on, but I'm not super active on Discord because I like backtracking, and that's not really possible on Discord. Also, IRC was very much the one main chat room, so that was easier for me for some reason.
I will have to talk to our resident fandom grandma Ferret about what IRC is. So we'll get back to that in a few minutes. So we're fast forwarding to 2014. You're writing. You're in the fandom. Were you active in events at that point?
Nope.
Sure, this makes total sense.
There were some people from those days. Sin, for sure. T-Berry Blue used to be on there a lot. Damn, I'm forgetting a lot of the names now. I'm sure Mucka must have been on there. Kiar, maybe? It was heavily 616. That's also how I learned about 616. And the other comics universes. But going back to your question, no, in 2014, I was mostly a reader. And then I put up one fic and ran away as soon as I posted it because I was so nervous. And then I took a peek later when I calmed down. I'm not a very prolific writer, and if you see my AO3, you'll see how long I go without posting stuff up. I was thinking about joining events at the time, though, like the BB and the RBB existed then. The Holiday Exchange was around then, too. But I had no idea how people could write such big fics for the BB, which is hilarious to me, because a few years ago, I found old fics I wrote in previous fandoms when I was way younger, and they were so long. Pretty sure one of them was over 100K, which is incomprehensible to me. And the RBB was so stressful because I was afraid I'd get stuck or disappoint the artist whose work I claimed.
Yeah, that's all really normal. And I think the younger we are, the more, like, the longer we write because we just keep putting all of our emo angst into all mm-hmm. of the words. All of my West mm-hmm. Wind fics are at least 20K longer than they need to be. And in Marvel, I've written one 100K fic, and it was motivated by spite and boredom. So anyone who can do it on the regular is a total hero, like Sin or Mizzy. Anyway, so you're in fandom, you're fully obsessed, you're not into events, and then all of a sudden you're running MTH. That's a pretty big leap there, friend.
It is a big leap, especially since I tell people that I like to keep to myself and staying in my little corner with a few friends and mostly lurking on the periphery. And everyone else is like, wait, what?
Yeah, if you had told me that before I got to know you, I wouldn't have believed it. So you went from basically lurking to running a massive team event. Go hard or go home, basically?
Okay, so basically, my event history is like, I want to join an event, but I'm not able to write anything long. Then I tried one RBB, and then real life came at me so fast I had to drop out, which I felt bad about because I love the art I claimed so much. The artist was amazing, etc. But at least another writer had claimed their work too, so it was okay. They still got a nice fic. And then I want to do the Holiday Exchange, but it didn't happen. And then I finally did one event. I wrote a fic for someone for the 2015 Holiday Exchange and nearly died trying. Then nothing, nothing, nothing. And then Stony Trump's Hate in 2017. Cool. I'll signal boost. Wow, I really want to participate, but it's a bad idea. It's a bad idea. Stop telling me to go for it. And at the last possible second, I signed up because I have no self-control. And I loved that experience. I did. I loved seeing the fandom come together, loved seeing people participating by offering their works and bidding, and I loved the atmosphere. And then several months before the one-year anniversary, I asked the STH mods if they were planning on doing a second round, and they said no, because it was a lot of work.
So, of course, you hear course. The phrase, lots of work, and your first reaction is, cool, let me do it.
Yeah, looking back, I'm not surprised because I tend to fall into the habit of throwing myself into big projects in real life. And no matter where I am or what I'm doing, both in my personal and professional life, I end up gravitating towards volunteering, even nonprofit work or just anything doing with helping charities and good organizations that like doing good things. But yeah, the STH mods said they didn't plan on doing a second year, but they were very supportive and said that if I wanted to go for it. I don't remember who I talked to at this point. I know I talked to Erica, who's Hello Garbage Time / Fate, and Saber.
Well, I'll tell you what, that would be my reaction too. Ferret just had to talk me out of doing a Marvel convention after I watched all the DashCon documentaries, so.
Yeah. Let's do all the things. Let's do a million things.
Yeah, it's pretty much going to be on my tombstone. So, what made you decide to move it from Sony to Marvel?
Well, Jen, who's I Ship All the Things, was also one of the STH mods, but I'm not sure if I talked to her about STH prior to asking about MTH because I actually hadn't talked to her much or at all at that point. That was my earliest and biggest dilemma. Was this going to be an STH mods pass the baton and I keep it going thing, or did I want to do something different? I kept going back and forth, and eventually what it came down to was asking people if they'd be interested in one or both of those events and putting out a survey, I think. That was just me testing the waters. That was June 22nd, 2018. I was thinking of the midterm elections, and June 2018 was when the news about family separation and children in cages at the border exploded. I was so beyond upset by that, like anyone with an ounce of sympathy was. So unbelievably upset and angry. And it was just this vicious cycle of feeling helpless, and I wanted to do something, but I didn't know what.
It is so hard when the problems are bigger than our hands, but we also know that we can use our hands for something and we don't know what.
Well, also the Trump administration had been doing awful things before that, but that really, really hit home for me because I come from a family and community of immigrants of color, though I'm not Latinx, and obviously this issue is very Latinx focused, as they're the ones who were and are primarily targeted by U.S. immigration policies.
I am married to an immigrant, so I feel you because yes, but also, like, if we don't fight this now, who is next?
Right, and I knew people who could be and were affected. And due to the people I know, family separation, whether it's more voluntary or not, is something that I'm very, very intimate with and have seen. So yeah, I was thinking about all of that before then. But it was more in the back of my mind. And that week, everything exploded.
Yeah, I remember that week vividly. And it was disgusting. But I love that your reaction was, okay, let's get the nerds together.
Yeah, right. Marry my two passions, community service work and fandom. Also, this is a great fandom for it because we have it in some of our MTH posts, but we're in a fandom about superheroes.
Yeah, this would feel a little bit different in a Degrassi fandom, I think.
We're all into characters who try to help people however they can with the abilities, resources, and powers that they have.
Yeah. So after you floated the poll and landed on Marvel, what was the next step?
The poll results were pretty evenly split and maybe slightly leaning towards a general Marvel event, but between that and my desire to do something that was both more inclusive and expansive at the same time, it made me decide to do a general Marvel event. Because I realized that there are so many people in the fandom who'd love to participate in events, but because their corner of the fandom was too small or niche or inactive, they didn't really have the opportunity to do that, and I wanted to reach those people too and bring those people in. So the next step was to recruit people.
All right, so talk me through that.
Okay, a week after the survey, I put out a call. I think you're going to link that.
Yeah. Oh my God, you brave woman inviting randoms.
Like I said, I barely knew anyone outside my own tiny, tiny corner. And I wanted to reach people who weren't just into Steve Tony, as the whole point was to reach as many places in the fandom as possible. Although, hilariously enough, nearly all of the event team and all of the mod team's main ship was Steve Tony. We had a whole discussion as to why this might have happened, and we had some theories, but anyway, I digress.
I still say it's beautiful and brave. So did you have to say no to anyone, or did everyone who said yes was incorporated? What was the response like?
I don't remember if I outright told people no, or if it was more of a you'll hear from me if I think you'd really help as a potential team member kind of situation, but I definitely didn't say yes to everyone, because there were a lot of people that responded.
Oh, what a lovely problem, and I'm not surprised. Our fandom is so helpful.
Right? I was really pleasantly surprised and touched, but since I knew this was a gigantic undertaking, I had to have people who had a lot of experience and knew what they were doing or this would fall apart, at least for the founding team. Ferret stuck out. I think she was the first member, although I might have reached out to Jen before that to ask if she'd be willing to come on board for MTH as someone with STH mod experience, as STH wasn't going to happen. So the founding team was Ashes 0909, Ferret, I Ship All Things, Lore, Sleepy Ocean Prince, Manny Bear, VD, Athla Tiger, and me. Ferret started the server, but for a while it was quiet, so it was just us two in a big, empty Discord server.
Bless. Yeah, if you're running something with a lot of parts, you need a ferret and all of her paws. So yep. I get that.
So we had our original team, a few of whom who ghosted.
Such a gem. My gosh, communicate is not that hard, I promise.
We asked for multiple ways to contact them. They were just so hard to reach.
Dear C, I'm out. XOXO, ghost. That's all you right. have to say.
If you want to drop out, just tell us. It's no big deal. Better to do it early than later. But eventually, we shaved it down to the core team.
That's amazing. So what was the biggest lesson you learned from year one?
Communication is key. But that's something the core team knew going in. That's why we're the ones who survived the snap. You really, really, really need to be organized down to the smallest detail. Things will be hard even if you're organized, but if you have all the systems in place, that helps. You need as solid of a foundation as possible and a team you can trust. You need to learn how to delegate and how to take the initiative when volunteering to do tasks. And you need to know how to handle disagreements courteously because we're all on the same side working towards the same thing. No civil war allowed.
Honestly, that's a life policy.
I know, right? You need a good to-do list system, too. I mean, not for nothing. We used Trello our first year, and no. And Discord pins and everything. It got really, really, really messy really fast, even when we were organized. It just naturally happens. Also, we got a way bigger response than we expected, and no amount of preparation could have helped with that. because the response was bigger than our high shoot for the stars estimate. That was also true of the second year, but yeah, you really need to be on top of things and figure out everything you can before you even announce that the event's happening. You have to prepare for as many eventualities and possible scenarios you can think of. So you have to be a futurist like Tony and an excellent tactician like Steve. Wink. If you don't have a solid as hell foundation and a good team that communicates well, spreads the workload out evenly, and works in tandem well, like near drift compatible levels of teamwork well, then it will be a mess. And you see a lot of fandom events fall apart because of that, or never get off the ground the way they had the potential to, which makes me kind of sad because they're such great ideas. Oh, and I remember another thing is knowing how to do outreach wisely. Part of the reason why we were so successful was because we did that really, really well. And that comes from my background of pestering specific individuals and groups for events, volunteer work, etc. I'd done in real life in the past.
Yeah, that kind of offline experience is really helpful with online stuff like this. Mm-hmm, so What is something you wish participants knew about modding MTH?
I think they know it's a lot of hard work and everyone's so nice and supportive about it. But whatever workload they imagine, I'd say our actual workload is a million times bigger and more complicated than you think it is. We work hard to make it as easy, smooth, and pleasant of an experience as possible for people. And you see little bugs popping up here and there or things poking out behind the curtain occasionally. But we hope that it's a relatively painless experience for everyone because we want it to be fun and easy to join.
Let me tell you, as a new mod, I could attest to the deep desire for our team to work as hard as possible so the experience for everyone is smooth.
Wait till auction time comes around. It gets crazy. But this year, we're trying to streamline the processes, so we're doing heavy-duty cleanup and putting new systems into place. It'll be a lot of work still, but hopefully that means no more countless all-nighters. Fun fact for MTH participants, we made a go-to-sleep bot prompt last year because the mod said that phrase so much to one another. But we want to be more efficient and healthy this year.
That's an excellent goal. There's a lot of moving pieces to this thing. The Google Drive is extensive.
I feel like there's a better answer for the what's something you wish participants knew about modding MTH question. And that might be something nice to ask the mod team. I'm sure you get some really good answers besides we work harder than you know. But another thing to add is that anyone can do what we did. It's just about putting in the work and being really smart about your time and decisions, as well as finding the right people to work with. This is something that's bigger than you, and you need to keep that in mind and be a united team. But the work is worth it, because I cannot express how grateful and emotionally overcome I am every fall. Not just because of the amount we raise, but also how many people show up to help in any way they can. Whether it's to be part of the event team, or to spread the word to their circles, join as creators and bidders, or be vocal in their support of everyone who's involved. It's nice, because fandom sometimes devolves into petty spats, and we're splintered off into our own little sub-fandoms most of the time. But it's so awesome to meet everyone, even if you don't, for instance, ever really venture into the Marvel Netflix side of things. Also, people are so goddamn talented, and I always find new people I've never talked to or knew about before who are extremely creative and brilliant and so, so, so kind. We all work on the MTH docs together, but the MTH auction is over posts for the past 2 years are the ones that I've written, and then the other mods took over them. So if you read them, they sum up how I feel about MTH and the fandom. I mean, I know you're going to link a couple of them, and just so you know, the auction results post is more of a team effort post.
Well, that's good to know, because I think a lot of the communication from the MTH mods comes from us as a kind of group. So I'm glad we'll be able to kind of point people specifically to your emotions as they kind of go through that. So besides the money, what is the thing that you're the most proud of?
Well, I sort of touched upon it in what I said before, but I'm so proud of our fandom for being able to unite as a collective force that tries to do some good with the tools we have. We have people from all walks of life from all over the world, and somehow people are able to recognize that whatever differences they may have, or whatever part of the Marvel fandom they're in, we're all here for a common cause. The least we can expect of people is to be civil, but people go beyond that. They're so unbelievably supportive of one another, even if they've never met before, or they have no clue what the other person is talking about because, I don't know, they've never read the X-Men comics. They try to help people. Ask something in our Discord server and 10 people will respond, trying to see if they can give you some ideas or options. The event defines what I love about fandom and shows the best of fandom. I know people talk about fandom pejoratively sometimes, and I get it. I see the ugly sides of fandom all the time, and again, I'm young, but I've been around the block. You see arguments and problems if you stick around long enough in any fandom, but there's a reason why so many of us love fandom and have been in fandom for so long. Whether you're into one main fandom for years, or you go through fandoms quickly, It's why we stick around for so long. It makes us happy. And you get to meet so many wonderful people. And I see that every single year. I'm also really proud of the mod team and that we never rest on our laurels. We try to improve every year, not just to make this a better and more user-friendly experience for people, but we try to reach as many places as we can. We try hard to make both veteran and newer fans welcome. We've had so many people get startled, but in a good way, that we thought of them for the auction when we reach out because they didn't think they were good or big enough. Also, you'd be surprised at how many people feel this way. We've had so many new fans ask if it's okay if they haven't done much Marvel works or any fan works at all. We want a variety of people to participate because that's what makes things interesting and makes this feel inclusive. This isn't only for big names and fandoms. It's nice because you always have these people come back and say that they had a great time being part of the auction and then later working with their winners on things. Some people become friends because of that. And we try to bring attention to other types of fan works and find ways to get more of a diverse representation of creators, bidders, and fandoms, as well as a diverse mix of works. There's only so much we can do, but we do our best to think outside the box. That's what I wanted to see when I decided to make this a general Marvel event, and we're always pushing for that.
Yeah, it's been really exciting this year. I think a lot more people are offering crafts, especially mm-hmm. for folks who are kind of worded out or like these times have drained their words. I'm reading a lot of people on the Discord server that are asking about crafts. So hopefully if somebody is looking for the like hand stitched cap doll of their dreams, they'll be able to find it on there. So what would you say to encourage somebody who was going to sign up but might be a little scared?
Here's what I'd say. You don't have to be a big name or a longtime fan to join. You can be someone who got into Marvel a week before MTH started. You can be someone who never participated in an event before, or be someone who tends to lurk and keep to yourself. You'll be surprised at the amount of support you'll receive, and you'll find people who are interested in the same thing as you, even if you only deal with Loki Gen fanworks, or into a ship that only you and three other people actively love. If you're intimidated by the idea of offering to make something for someone, you can set your limits in terms of the content you're willing to make, what you aren't interested in or are dead set on not making, and how extensive the work you're making or helping make will be. Your limits can be as specific or as loose as you'd like. We want this to be a comfortable experience that's as stress-free and enjoyable for you as possible. There are no minimum requirements to join other than being a Marvel fan.
And most of us, within the sound of my voice, probably qualify for that, so that's helpful. So I've gotten a bunch of questions about this, and I know we've been talking out over a little bit as a team, and as people are listening to this, the auction is live. So how is MTH going to address Chadwick Boseman's death? What can people expect?
Well, like everyone listening to this, everyone in fandom, everyone, period, the event team was extremely shaken by the sudden news of Chadwick's death. Personally, the news hit me very hard. It surprised me how much it hurt, even though I had so much affection and admiration for Chadwick that the pain shouldn't have been such a shock. It's just so hard to comprehend that he passed away and that he's not with us. Anyway, all of us immediately decided that we wanted to honor Chadwick this year and suggested ways we could do so that would be both respectful and tactful. The best way we thought of doing that was to spotlight charities that we know he supported or would support causes that he championed. And we hope that people will consider supporting these charities, whether it's through MTH or on their own.
Yeah. And over the next little bit, I'll be writing some spotlight posts for the MTH Tumblr and website. So folks looking for specific Chadwick honoring charities, things that work with cancer or things like the NAACP College Fund or Legal Defense Fund that he supported, you'll be able to click to those easily. So that, except for the kind of traditional, very final question, that's all I've got. So in terms of finality, what are you reading lately, or what are some all-time favorite fics you'd recommend?
Ooh, well, number one is The Courage to Continue by Ponderosa. It's a Nick Fury, Alexander Pierce fic that was written years before the Captain Marvel movie. It's one of my all-time favorite fics, and I can go on about it. The prose, the grittiness, the decades-long relationship, and the seeds planted for the future. The way that Fury trusts very few people, and Pierce was one of them, and this goes into that. Number two is I'll See You When I Fall Asleep by Sitziert Lanyu. It's an MTH Steve Tony fic that's just so cleverly done and so romantic. Kimi no Na wa fits perfectly with 616 Steve Tony. My third and final rec is Saudade by A Slight Step. And this is the rare author I'll read Stephen Tony ships that aren't Steve Tony. But this is still first and foremost a Steve Tony fic. I can probably count on one hand, or maybe a hand and some few fingers at this point, the number of fics that have made me cry, because I don't tend to really cry when I read fics, and this is one of the very, very few. Such a cathartic cry, though.
That's so interesting. I'm not really looking for cry fics right now, but somebody listening might be, so I'm really glad you brought that up.
Somebody's always looking for a cry fix.
I'm not somebody who like finds catharsis in art, but my soulmate definitely does. So, well, moment of host privilege. Before we say goodbye, I just want to say that MTH for me is the best thing about fandom. I would have volunteered to help even if I didn't know Ferret, because I believe so deeply in this. I cried legitimately when the totals came in last year, and I'm still really blown away that I raised what I raised, just personally with between my bidding and then what my fix went for, all because I like to write about superheroes and love. So thank you for the bottom of my heart for taking this risk. You are a hero of our fandom for sure. And I want to, on behalf of everybody who has been affected by this and the millions and millions of people that will never meet, but their lives were positively changed because of cash that we donated. Just want to say thank you.
Oh, thank you. I mean, we would have been happy just raising a tiny amount because something's better than nothing, but we were so shocked and emotional the first year. Lots and lots of keyboard bashing and sobbing emojis. And the second year was wild because we thought, hey, maybe it was just a fluke or a one-off, but wouldn't it be nice if we got that amount again? And then had to constantly adjust our expectations several times, and then went, wow, okay, let's go for 25K. That's our wild dream. And, we surpassed that at the end. It's been almost an entire year and I still can't wrap my head around it. It's so beyond humbling to see what we can achieve together.